People sometimes say, when I get to heaven, I've got some questions that I'm going to ask Almighty God. You heard people say that? I promise you, it's not going to be like that. Read any account in the Bible of a person in the presence of the Almighty, and you will find exactly the same thing. Fell on their faces, and they were
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, this account that we're going to be looking at today actually comes from Matthew 17. It's the account of the Transfiguration.
Yes, and it tells us that when the disciples heard the audible voice of God thundering from heaven, they fell on their faces. You know, I find this such a powerful reminder that it's never for us to sort God out. We're never going to be in the position of telling him what he should have done. He is so great and he is so glorious. And here are these disciples of Jesus. And when they hear the audible voice of God, they're down on their faces on the ground. But thank God that's not the end of the story. Because what the Bible tells us is that Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." That's a marvelous truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
That one day we will stand in the presence of God and we'll not be cowering. We will not be terrified. We will be able to be at peace in his presence because the Lord Jesus Christ himself will make us stand and he'll be standing with us. We wouldn't have any hope in the presence of God without him. But with him, we will be able to stand with peace and joy in the presence of God, to enter the Father's house and to enjoy him forevermore. So this marvelous story is going to point us to this very central truth of the gospel, the deliverance from fear that Jesus Christ is able to bring.
Well, let's look at this in Matthew chapter 17. So grab a Bible and join us there as we continue the message, Confusion. Here is Pastor Colin.
Jesus is preparing to endure the agonies of the cross. Can you imagine this? He's just told his disciples what lies ahead of him. You would think that this would be the moment where the disciples would step up. They would gather around him. They would minister to him. They would support him. They would read scripture to him. They would strengthen him. They would encourage him. And what happens, of course, is exactly the opposite. Peter blows it and rebukes him. Some help. And so what does God do? Well, God the Father sends Moses and Elijah to minister to Jesus. Just as, by the way, later in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke tells us that the Father sent an angel to strengthen him. By the way, here's an encouragement. When Satan uses a Peter to tempt you, God will send a Moses or an Elijah to strengthen you. Look for that. When there's someone who stands in your way and brings great grief and pain to your life, God will send someone else who will be a strength to you, an encouragement, and a support. It's his way, and it's what he does here for his son. Now, the two he sent were Moses and Elijah. I mean, how remarkable is that? Because Moses, of course, had died and been buried 1,400 years before the time of Jesus. And Elijah, of course, had been taken up into heaven 800 years before the time of Jesus. And yet here are the pair of them, as large as life on the Mountain of Transfiguration, and they are talking with Jesus. Here is something, by the way, very wonderful for all who grieve the loss of a loved one. Those who have died in Christ are very much alive. Amen? Those who have died in Christ are very much alive. And here, Moses and Elijah, who died hundreds of years earlier, are sent by the Father, and they are talking with Jesus. Now, what did they talk about? Well, Luke tells us that they spoke about his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. In other words, a clear reference to all that Jesus would endure at the cross. That's what they spoke to him about. They were ministering to him. They were strengthening him as he prepared himself for the ordeal that lay ahead. They were doing what the disciples should have done and clearly did not do. Which, you know, raises this interesting question. What would Moses and Elijah have said to Jesus about his departure? Well, think about this. God gave the law through Moses. And surely the distinct contribution of Moses would be to speak to Jesus about his death in relation to the law. I picture him saying something like this to Jesus. In your life, you have fulfilled all of the law of God that was given through me. No one else has ever done this. I couldn't do it, Moses would have said, and Elijah here didn't do it either. You alone, Jesus, know the blessing that comes to those who keep the entire law of God. And now, you are going to bear the curse of sinners who break the law of God. You're going to stand in their place, and the curse that belongs to them will become yours, and the blessing that belongs to you will become theirs. And then, of course, Elijah was known as the greatest of the prophets. And so I expect that when Elijah spoke to Jesus about what lay ahead, he would have done so, spoken of the death of Jesus in relation to prophecy. Jesus, you are fulfilling all the words spoken by the prophets. They spoke of what you will suffer. Yes, but they also spoke of how you will triumph. Yes, you will go through the darkest valley, but on the other side you will enter into an inexpressibly glorious joy. You will be exalted to the highest place. The will of God will prosper in your hands. You will redeem an innumerable company of people from every tribe and nation, and the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, and they come to minister to Jesus as he prepares for all that he will endure as he goes to Jerusalem. And Peter and the other disciples hear this ministry that comes from Moses and from Elijah to Jesus and to them. They hear what Jesus will accomplish at the cross when the way ahead of you is hard. Rejoice in the work of Jesus, in the knowledge that he has fulfilled all the law on your behalf, and that all the prophecies of a glorious future will be yours in and through Christ Jesus. What do you do when the way ahead of you is really hard? You look at the glory of Jesus. You rejoice in the work of Jesus. And here's the third thing. You rest in the sufficiency of Jesus. Now, again, try and picture with me what happens here. Peter wakes up because he'd been asleep. Wakes up and there's this radiant light that is beaming from Jesus himself. And then he sees Moses and Elijah. By the way, how did he know that they were Moses and Elijah? We're not told. Did Jesus make the introduction? Did Moses and Elijah introduce themselves? Did Peter just know intuitively? We don't know. But he knew that it was Moses and Elijah. By the way, if someone asks you the question, will we know one another in heaven? This is not a bad place to point for an answer. It's very clear that these are not two kind of anonymous people. This is Moses and this is Elijah, and they're right there and they're speaking with Jesus. Resurrection body anticipated. Notice what Peter said. He said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And I love the fact that Peter clearly has learned from Jesus' rebuke. He calls him Lord, and he says, now, if you wish. So the presumption that was there earlier that we looked at last week is going away. And he's now submitting himself to what Jesus wants because Jesus is Lord. But he has this suggestion, and Luke adds some detail that I think helps us understand what is happening here. Luke says that as the men, that's Moses and Elijah, were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Luke adds, by the way, usually when you don't know what to say, the best thing is to say absolutely nothing. But that was not Peter's style, and he comes out with this statement. Now, notice the significant piece that Luke adds to the account here. Peter said this as the men were parting. So God sends Moses and Elijah to minister to Jesus and to the disciples, and now God is taking these men away. And Peter doesn't want to let them go. So hoping that he can hang on to them a little longer, he's saying, let's build three shelters, let's keep Moses and Elijah here. That's what he's saying. Now that leads to this question. Who is the Moses in your life? Who is the Elijah in your life?
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and in just a moment, we're going to look at why those questions might be significant for us to answer today. Our message is called Confusion. It is part of a series called Authentic Discipleship. And if you want to get an entire copy of this series on CD so you can listen to it at your convenience, just ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you'll find ordering information at our website, openthebible.org. Again, the name of the series is Authentic Discipleship. If you joined us a little bit late, we're in Matthew 17, so let's get back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Who is the Moses in your life? Who is the Elijah in your life? Who are the people who to you have been, perhaps for a long time, gifts of God who have brought strength and comfort and support and blessing? And if God takes one of these people away, you won't want to let them go. Now, every person who walks through the dark valley of bereavement knows what this is like. So I want you to see from the scripture what happens next. While Peter was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now, do you see, while he was still speaking? So this is the direct answer of God the Father to Peter's proposal. Peter wants to hold on to Moses. He wants to hold on to Elijah. He wants to continue drawing strength and comfort from these men who have ministered to Jesus and to him. But the Father is taking these men back up into heaven, and the Father is saying to Peter, no, not from these men, but from my Son. This is my beloved Son. Not these men. This is my beloved Son. You must listen to him. What an amazing moment this was. The awesome presence of God. In the Bible, you often find this, the awesome presence of Almighty God drawing near in a cloud. And here you have the Almighty speaking from the cloud in an audible voice, just as he did when the law was given at Mount Sinai. And here he says, "This is my beloved Son. I am well pleased with him. Listen to him." You see what's being said here, Peter? Moses and Elijah have ministered to you. They have brought great help. They have brought great strength. They have brought great comfort to you. But Jesus is infinitely more precious than any Moses or any Elijah. Listen to him. Here is a truth for us to remember when someone is taken and we don't want to let them go. Jesus is the gift of the Father to you. In him, you have all that you need, and Jesus will never be taken from you. And that is why it's so significant that in the very last verse of this story, verse 8, we read that they lifted up their eyes and they saw no one but Jesus only. They don't have Moses. They don't have Elijah, but they do have Jesus. And in Jesus, they have all that they need. Now, we're looking at what you do when the way ahead of you is hard. You look at the glory of Jesus. You rejoice in the work of Jesus, all that he's accomplished for you, fulfilling the law and the prophets. You rest in the sufficiency of Jesus when someone who has been a means of strength and comfort to you is taken away from you. You find your sufficiency in Jesus. This is God's beloved Son. You must listen to him. And then the last thing, of course, is that we listen to the words of Jesus. And of course, the words that Jesus spoke on the mountain are in verses 6 and 7, and they're full of significance for us today. When the disciples heard this, that is the voice from the cloud, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." Now, notice what happens when the disciples know that they are in the immediate presence of the Almighty. These men see the cloud of God's presence. They hear the audible voice of God, and they fall on their faces in absolute terror. They were terrified. And we would be the same. You know, people sometimes say, "When I get to heaven, I've got some questions that I'm going to ask Almighty God." You heard people say that? I promise you, it's not going to be like that. Not for any one of us. Don't think for one minute that when you get to heaven, you're going to hold God to account. He's going to hold you and me to account. Read any account in the Bible of a person in the presence of the Almighty, and you will find exactly the same thing. They fell on their faces and they were terrified. When God drew near to the prophet Habakkuk, he said this, "My heart pounds, my lips quiver, my legs tremble." When God drew near to the prophet Malachi, he said this, "Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire." So the disciples fall on their faces, terrified. And notice the next word in this marvelous verse, "But." Thank God for this. Thank God that the verse doesn't end with them falling on their faces terrified. There'd be no hope for us if that was the end. But Jesus came and touched them. "Rise and have no fear." Do you see what this is telling us? That Jesus makes it possible for forgiven sinners to stand in the presence of our holy God. And years later, and this is the last thing today, years later, when Peter's an old man and he's getting right to the end of his life, it was this story of the transfiguration that he called to mind when he anticipated his own departure. Let me just read to you from 2 Peter these words of Peter at the end of his life. He says this, "I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. I know that I'm not long for this world," he's saying. "And I will make every effort so that after my departure," another way of describing his death, "you may be able at any time to recall these things." What things? "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." Now think about this. Peter knows that he's not long for this world. "I'll soon be leaving the body, and I'll be entering into the presence of God." And of all the stories that he could have called to mind as he anticipates that moment, this is the story that comes to his mind and that gives to him assurance in his own heart as he faces the prospect of his own death. Why this story? Well, because on the mountain of transfiguration, he had already had a taste of what it is to enter the holy presence of the Almighty, and he knew what Jesus would do when that happened. "When I put off this body, when I depart from this world, I know exactly what's going to happen. I will enter the holy presence of Almighty God, and Jesus will place his hand upon me. Jesus will say, 'Rise and have no fear,' and all will be well."
What a word of hope to wrap up today's message with. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Confusion. It is part of our series called Authentic Discipleship, where we've been taking a look at the life of Peter. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts in our series, you can come and listen online. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Our website is openthebible.org. That's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. That's exactly what it sounds like. We depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on the station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we'd like to send you an Advent devotional. It's called The Coming of the King, written by J.C. Ryle. And Colin, who would you say this book is for?
Well, let me give you a couple of answers, Steve. One would be anyone who wants to prepare well for Christmas. Another would be anyone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what this book is about. It is about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are short readings for Advent. They help us to prepare for Christmas, and they focus the light and all the attention on Jesus Christ himself. I love this little book because of its focus on Christ and because of the way that it builds faith and brings hope. Just a couple of pages to read each day, and very simple, very clear, and wonderfully Christ-centered.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, The Coming of the King by J.C. Ryle, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give a gift over the phone when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or online when you come to our website. That is openthebible.org. Again, that's openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. What are the challenges that faithful believers face in every generation? Find out what the book of Malachi says next time on Open the Bible.